sickness and things like that. But boy, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, don't it? Amen. Boy, I like what I feel in the house of God. I feel freedom in here tonight. And I believe what they were saying, that the chains are going to be broken tonight. Amen. I come here expecting something from God. And I know that what Dylan was saying is true. I don't worship and praise to get something, but I know that when I come expecting God to do something, that He's going to do something. Amen. If you're here visiting tonight, I see some fresh faces. We're glad you're here. I see a couple of people I know, and I'm thankful that you're here tonight. I know that God's going to bless you, and you're going to get something out of this that you can take with you tonight. I'm going to be preaching about committed to the cause. This is pretty elementary, I guess you would say, but I'm a simple person, like I've said before, and that's just how I get things, so that's how God gives it to me. It ain't going to be nothing real deep. You're not going to have to go look it up and see what I was talking about. I'm going to give it all to you tonight. Amen. Just pray that I'll just mind the Lord tonight. I feel like God has sent me on an assignment, and I just want to kind of slow down and take it easy, and it shouldn't take me but about 2 or 3 hours, and we'll be done. See, I haven't got to preach but one time, so I got to make up for all the times I didn't preach. Funny story real quick. I was back there in our little office, and I go back there, and I'll pray or whatnot, or get my stuff together, make sure I got everything, and I love my boys, and sometimes when I'm doing that, I'm just like, well, y'all please get out, or, you know, just being real, just being honest. But tonight, they come in there, and I said, well, y'all come on in here, I'm going to pray, because I know how that works out sometimes. Chase would be hitting me with something, or Colin's trying to get him to be quiet and all this. But I was in there, and I was praying. I couldn't have prayed very long, just a few minutes, and I got done, and Chase is like, long. And I was like, well, excuse me. Yeah, so he said I was long-winded. Yeah, there you go. So anyways, you know, it's good to have a good time in God's house. You know, I want everybody here to feel comfortable and to enjoy this service. And that's why I share those things like that, because I feel like the ministry that God has allowed me to be a part of, I feel like God wants me to just let people know, hey, we're all just people. You know, we're all fighting the same battles. We're all struggling with the same things in a sense. And just because I stand up here doesn't mean that I don't face things or that I don't have problems or issues. I think so many times people look at preachers and people that are leadership in the church, and they think, well, my goodness, they've just got it all figured out. I'm here to tell you, I don't. You know, God has blessed me. I am a blessed man. But how many of you know when you work for the kingdom of God, the enemy is going to come against you and try his best to knock you off your feet? So I want to talk to you now about being committed to the cause. And I've got a couple of different points that I'd like to bring out about why we should be committed, except for the obvious, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but let's face it, we have things that happen in our lives that tend to make us wonder, that tend to make us not necessarily doubt, but we have these things going on in our mind. Well, God, if you're God, and if I'm your man, or if I'm your woman, then why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why am I going through these things that I'm going through? And I don't have enough time tonight to try to answer all those questions, but those are the kind of things that we face that pull us away from being committed. Or I know that that's the way it's been in my life. I would, very early on when I got saved and really truly just sold out to God, it seemed like everything that I was working toward was just not happening. And I thought to myself, God, here I am. I've sold out to you. I've quit everything. I've just sold totally out to you. But the things that I thought that were going to happen are not happening. God, what is going on? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? So we had to be very patient as Christians. So what is being committed to the cause? Committed and cause. Let me just throw these two in there. is acting out a responsibility that you feel strong enough about to take action. So, and Pastor, I know this is kind of a spinoff from Sunday. Pastor said that he was not for sale and he wasn't going to give up and he was going to keep serving God no matter what. And that's what being committed is. But we're committed because we feel that there's a sense of a responsibility as a Christian, as a man or woman of God, that you feel strong enough about to take action. Now, I've lived in a place where I was committed in a sense, but I didn't feel strong enough about it to take action. Does that make sense? I think there's a lot of Christians walking around. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody or anything like that. I promise you. But there's a lot of people that are saved that are going to heaven that I feel like are somewhat committed as long as you don't mess with their comfort zone or as long as you don't mess with their money or as long as you don't mess with their time that they have. So what is this cause that we're to be committed to? It's the gospel, of course. I mean, that's what it is. That's our cause, you know, to be able to share with people the gospel. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 read like this. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So the cause is to go out and make disciples. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, very familiar. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, I think a lot of times we have a misconception of what the cause really is. Sometimes we think the cause is about us. Brother Roy said something so awesome yet very humbling in Sunday school. He said, you know, a lot of people want to make the gospel about them. And you know, we want to get saved. We want to live right. We want to be blessed and all those things. But sometimes we make it about what God can do for us. And we make it like it's a movie about our lives, but it's really not. We're just a supporting actor, is what Brother Roy said. You know, the movie is about the kingdom of God. This life is about living for the kingdom of God and sharing the gospel with others. I'm going to say this, and I'll get back to it in just a minute, but you can't be committed unless you're connected. And there's a lot of different ways that we can connect. But a lot of people want to try to be committed to something that they're not fully connected to. So why do we stay committed? Why do we stay committed to the cause? And this, I wouldn't say is the number one, but this is just three different things that I feel like God gave me to share with you tonight. And I'll tell you, church, I know that I've heard from the Lord. I know that this is exactly what God wanted me to preach tonight. I've come in here at times and I've had my doubts if this was the message that God had, and maybe I just got out of line or whatever. Maybe this is what I wanted, but I know tonight that this is what God has laid on my heart. So if you're here tonight, just please just listen and take this in. Hope is one of the reasons why we need to be committed to the cause. I see so many people that are so hopeless. They feel like they have no hope in this life. They struggle along trying to find purpose, trying to find hope. And you that are saved, you know that the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's the only hope, but people are so confused. They're so bought into what the world says versus what the Word of God says. And honestly, I believe it's a generational thing, and I'll get to that in just a second. But you know, people need hope. They need to know that no matter what happens, that it's for a purpose, that it's for a reason, that their life is worth something, that they can have hope in their life. Hope is a feeling of confidence and expectation. It's when you look forward to something, believing that it will happen. You see, that's the way we feel about the gospel. That's the way we feel about our relationship with God, is we have hope. If we didn't have hope, none of us would be here that are regular attendees of this church. Our hope is in Jesus. We sing that song. We have a hope that one day, you know, this old world's going to pass away and we're going to have a better future, a better home in heaven. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 71 and 5, he said, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Some of you right now are facing things that you need hope. And Lord, help me. Sometimes, like I said, we want a certain outcome. But for me, the hope of Jesus is that no matter what happens, I'm good. No matter what the outcome is, no matter what the report is, that I'm good, that God's got this. It's a confidence that He's got His best interest for me and for my family and for the ones that I love. No matter what the situation or the circumstance, no matter how it looks, that I have hope. So as Christians, we face undesirable circumstances at times. And if we're not careful, it will cause our hope to shrink. And it changes our expectations. And it changes our outlook upon ourselves and our situation. Because what do we do sometimes when something happens? We want to play the blame game. It reminds me of some scriptures that Jesus and His disciples were walking up, and there was a man that was blind from his birth. And I don't know about you, but I try not to do this, but times I do. Well, who sinned? Was it his mother or his father or him? What happened? You know, that's the way we try to rationalize things. As humans, sometimes we see something bad that happened to somebody and we want to find a reason why it happened, right? We want to try to pinpoint what exactly was going on in their life that caused that to happen. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a fallen world. There's bad things that happen to good people. Now, I can't explain it. I don't understand it. This week I have just cried out to God. I'm talking about just laid in the floor, and God help me to understand these situations. I don't understand, you know. And I know many of you that have been in this thing for a while. You know, we read the Bible. We believe in the Word of God. We believe that God is going to send angels to encamp round about us, that He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We believe these things, but yet things still come our way. That is why we need hope. As Brother Gary says, is this making any sense? You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. And this is kind of getting where we see the bigger picture here. You know, Paul was a great man of God. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. I would say that, you know, he was in tune with the Lord. But yet, it took prison, being beat nearly half to death. You know what I'm saying? he had to go through these things. And I'm not saying that he had to experience that so he could write, but what I'm saying is God allowed those things to happen, and it exalted him to a higher level, I believe. I mean, it's so amazing how God uses suffering and God uses bad circumstances to reveal His glory. I may be wrong. I want to say this. I hope I'm not wrong. But when Lazarus died, he said, you know, this is not, you know, what you think it is. This is so the glory of God can be revealed. And the same thing he said about the blind man, that they were asking, you know, well, who's sinned? What happened? And he's basically saying, no, this is the way it is so everybody can see how great I am. So everybody can realize that I'm God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, we want everything to be just right here. We want everything to be the way we want it to be. Perfect, no flaws, no failures. Even in our own lives, sometimes my mom has to remind me, son, as long as you're on this side of heaven, you're not going to be perfect. You know, and I don't use that for an excuse to go do whatever I want to do. But there's times when you fail. There's times when you're not perfect. You know, and that's hard to accept, especially. So I'm kind of a perfectionist. I'm real competitive. And if I don't get something right, well, I beat myself up and I get down on myself. And that can go in several different areas of your life. You know, raising children. You know, things happen with your children and things like that, and you think, what did I do wrong? Did I do that right? Did I discipline them right? Did I make the right decision? So it's tough at times. But thank God that our hope is not just right here. Okay, yes, I'm hopeful. And I claim the promises of God in my life and in my family's life, in your life. But this is not where all of my hope is. All of my faith and my hope doesn't rest just here. Me and Brother Gary was talking about, you know, just people just so hungry and just searching for just somebody to show them some love, some compassion. And trust me, I know that everybody won't receive it. Not everybody will allow you to kind of come in and you know, them to let that wall down. Trust me, I mean, I deal with people all the time. I would love to be able to minister to them. I would love to be able to talk to them and just be there for them, you know. But some people won't let you. But when they do, it is so awesome to see the God in us working to touch that person. Amen. It is so awesome to see that. And I know that it's God. It's not me. There's no good thing in me. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I put all my hope in that. What if we were so committed that hope was just transferred to the hopeless when we went out into the world? What if we were that committed? So we've got to be committed so we can share hope with others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And this is just not because I'm telling you to do it. It's because God said to do it. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I know that's a hard task sometimes. But what I've found is if you stay ready, if you stay prayed up, if you stay studied up, that it won't be as hard to give that answer for hope. I mean, y'all, we have an endless endless ability to have the Word of God placed in our lives. I've started doing something recently, and I don't always get it right, but I try to listen to at least one message a day, like on YouTube, or there's a Clint was showing me something. I'm gonna download it. What's that called, Clint? iDisciple. It has a lot of different preaching and different things on it. You know what I'm saying? Find you a good minister online. Terry DeHart. You know, you can go back and listen to his messages. Sorry, Gary. You listen to Gary Williams's too. Or Dylan Hillier. Or mine. I don't know. So anyway. But anyways, something I've tried to do is I tried to fill my life with the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's made a huge impact. You know what I'm saying? And you have to, and you know, some of you may like different music. I would tell you to be careful. And I'm not trying to chase rabbits or anything, but what you let in is what you get out. I've recently got to where when I exercise and stuff, I used to listen to some of the Christian rap, and there was some other like contemporary, like, I don't know, kind of like rock Christian music. I've had to separate myself from that because I'm not real sure what the message is in it sometimes. So I just listen to praise and worship when I work out. People are going to think I'm over there crazy, praising the Lord, working out, doing some bench press, jump up and praise the Lord. So, I don't know where I was going with that. So we are to have a reason of the hope that is within us. All right. So, like I said, that's just one example why we need to be committed, is to share the hope. And you gather that hope through staying committed to God. Whether it be in your calling, your ministry, your day-to-day life, staying committed to God. Another reason why we must stay committed is the next generation. I mean, this thing's bigger than us. This is not just about us. And I'll be honest with you, this is something that God has been dealing with me on. And, you know, it just makes me weep sometimes. And I mean, it just tears me up because the Holy Spirit's inside of me. And when things are going on, it tears me up. It makes me emotional. It gives me, you know, just a reason to really call out to God. I'm going to go in, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, but y'all just, I promise you, it's going to be all right. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 2. And this is just backing up the reason of the next generation, why we should be committed because of the next generation. Everybody remembers Joshua, right? He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He took over after Moses. You know, he done a lot of great things. He was a mighty man of God, a mighty warrior. But there's something sad that happened after the death of Joshua. And I've never really thought about this that much, but felt like God pointed this out to me, why we must be committed. I'm going to read verses 7 through 12. It said, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers," which means they passed away. "And there arose another generation after them." You see, the Bible says that it's unto one man, at one time we're going to die. I don't know, I didn't get that just right. But at some point, we have an expiration date. Okay? And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And it goes on to say, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods. See, we must be committed because this is bigger than just your life. This, what you do now, and what you decide to commit your life to can affect generations after us. It's a scary thing that the people, and this is not a charge against those people that knew not God. This is a charge against the ones before them. So that can mean us, right? So we're doing what we're doing because of the next generation. And it scares me to death to think that we would get what we want to get. And just like the children of Israel, they got their land. They got what they wanted. They fought real hard to get it, but they failed because they did not transfer the love of God and the things of God to the next generation. You see, Exodus 20:6 says, "But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, people can do whatever they want. The next generation has the ability to make whatever decision they want to make. But it's our responsibility to give them the tools to be able to be successful. Amen. It's our responsibility to tell our children, to tell our friends, to tell our neighbors about God. It's our responsibility to be passionate and to show the hope that we have and stay committed. So we got to be committed for the next generation. Not to mention, you know, the issue of heaven and hell. But that can go so much farther than that. It's very, very lengthy subject, but you search it out. So like I said, Judges chapter 2 is not a charge against the generation that knew not God, because evidently somebody failed before them. But it's against the ones before them who failed to pass on the knowledge of God, Savior. God forbid that we fail the next generation. You know, I'm not just up here barking at you, telling you, you better be committed, you better do this, you better do that. It's bigger than you. But just like the people of old and the people in the New Testament, one day you're going to be proud that you stayed committed. You could have a hand in somebody going from the pits to the palace, so to speak. Thinking about this, you know, I say this a lot, but what you do matters. And the life that you live matters. It could either point somebody toward God or it could turn somebody away. You know, and I'm not saying that I've always done everything right, but from time to time, God will definitely wake me up and say, people are watching. Watch what you say. Watch how you respond. You know, and I mean, I'm very real with God. I don't hide anything from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't. You may think you can, but you can't. He sees everything. But, you know, I'm so thankful that God convicts our hearts at times and that He can change us. Amen. So lastly, so why should we be committed? To share the hope. Because when you're committed, you gain expectation and you gain hope from God. You gain so many different things, but the hope. And then why else should we be committed? Just going back over these, for the next generation. How important is that? It's very important. It's imperative that we serve God and that we do it to the best of our ability, and we raise our children up in the love and admonition of the Lord, and we train them up in the way that they should go so that when they're old they won't depart from it. It's our duty. It is our purpose in a sense. So another reason is opportunity. And you may say, well, what kind of opportunity are you talking about? I'm not talking about a business opportunity. I'm not talking about an opportunity for you to climb the ladder, although God can make those things happen when you serve Him. He can give you favor, and He can bless you in those ways. And I know I've read several different books of the Bible, different scriptures, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, still talking about opportunity, it said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, searching the whole earth, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." If you really want to get out and serve God, you've got to be fully committed to Him. If you really want to go out and make a change, to make a difference, I'm not saying that God can't use you if you're lukewarm. He can do whatever He wants to do. He's God. But I know this, if you're fully committed to Him, He'll open doors. He'll point you down avenues. He'll do things that you couldn't do on your own. He'll put you places where you thought you'd never be to be able to preach the gospel. And not necessarily from a pulpit. It may be on side of the road. It may be at Walmart. It may be on your job. Whatever it is, God wants to give you opportunities to further the kingdom. So many times, you know, church is, I was talking to Pastor or Gary, I think I told both of them this, but, you know, a lot of times this ministry right here is a very small part of my walk with God. My ministry a lot of times is when I got people in handcuffs and they can't go nowhere, so they have to listen to what I'm saying. But going back to some people, and I believe God will give you discernment over that. I know the ones that I can say something to. And I don't ever, you know, just preach at people. I think that's a good way to turn people away from the church, to turn people away from God. But when I see that their hearts are open and it's like God shows me, they'll say something or something will happen. And it's like I get released and God will allow me to speak to them, you know. So, He's searching for people. He's searching the whole earth. What does God see when He looks at you? Had to ask myself that. What does He see when His eyes come across you? Because it says that He's searching the whole earth. He's wanting to give somebody strength because He wants you to fulfill His purpose. He wants you to be a disciple and go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what does He see when He looks at you? Again, you have to be committed to be connected. Recently on my job, and I know there's some people here that don't work where I work anymore, and I know that that's a God thing. I really do. I feel peace about that. I know that we're kind of in a little situation as far as our job is concerned. But I know that God called those people to go to another place, and that is fine by me. And I think all of them that have talked to me will tell you that I didn't discourage them. I told them I'd be praying for them. If that's what God wanted them to do, I support them 110%. But through me continuing to stay where I felt like God wanted me to be, and I know this is on the physical side of it, not the spiritual, but it kind of has the same meaning for me. By me staying and being committed and being connected, it's almost like I've been given more responsibility. Does that make sense? And it's the same way in your walk with God. Once you get connected and once you get committed, God will begin to move you to different places. God will begin to trust you with more things. I heard a man talking about talking about money, I think it was Jensen Franklin, he said, if God can't trust you to tithe the $30,000 that you make, why would he give you $300,000? You know, I mean, and that's so true about a lot of things in our walk with God. If God can't trust you to be committed now, why would he open doors for you to go and share the gospel when you need work yourself? Amen. We need to be committed. Sister Bobby, if you'll play that music. I'm coming to a stop tonight. And I really feel like, you know, this word tonight was to equip the ones of you that are here that you've been serving God and you know, just to reaffirm, hey, I am committed. I am committed. I'm looking forward to what God is doing in my life. I'm looking forward to the things that God is going to do, that he's done already. You know, to remind you that yes, we need to be concerned about this next generation, that we need to be praying for Sister Cheryl and Brother Kerry and the ones that are in the children's ministry. I know there's more. I don't want to name everybody. I'll miss somebody. But this next generation is so important. So maybe it was to remind you that you need to be committed. That we need to be committed to prayer and we need to be committed to those things. But I also believe that tonight, through this message, that God is looking to give and to restore purpose and hope in your life. Because there's a lot of folks, they want to be committed to something. They want to have a place. They want to have a purpose. Now, I'm talking to you that maybe you haven't made that decision for Christ. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know for sure. I'm here tonight to tell you that you didn't just come here by chance. That you came here a divine appointment by God. And I believe that tonight with all of my heart. So maybe you're here and you're looking for a purpose. I'm going to tell you, God has a great purpose for your life, and it's to be committed to Him. It's to further the kingdom of God and to be a soldier in His army. I'm going to open up this altar in just a minute. I really truly feel like there's somebody in this house tonight that you want to be part of something. You need hope. And you need a purpose. There's something I want you to do when I ask you to come down. You know who you are. God is dealing with you right now. I want you to come down to this altar with an expectation that God is going to do a work in your life, that you're going to leave here with a purpose. You're going to leave here more committed than you've ever been in your life. If that's you, come on down here. Come on down. In the world of hopes, will you find me? I belong to you. Hey, I belong to you. You know the enemy can't take what I am, change who I am. I belong to you. By your blood.